What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Pack Power Weekly Podcast. On this episode, Charlie and I discuss NC State's lopsided loss to Virginia, CJ Bailey's woefully bad performance on Saturday, how the offense can improve, the defense missing the mark against Bo Perbula, and we'll talk about other sports, women's soccer. We'll discuss Ian Condon's official visit to NC State as well. So stick with us on this episode of the Pack Power Weekly Podcast.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Pack Power Weekly Podcast. This is normally we would hear cheers and applause and woo. But as you can tell, we are not at Amedios tonight. Unfortunately, wasn't able to make it out. Won't be able to make it out next week either. Well, I say unfortunately, but it's fortunate that I was able to be at my daughter's T-ball game tonight. As you can tell, the Pirates here, we got to, you know, go out there and experience a T-ball game. Harper got her first hit off of a pitch tonight. So really big moments. And it was a lot of fun. It was also a lot of work, but T-ball is a lot of fun to watch all the kids be able to have fun. One thing that was not fun was this past Saturday, and we will discuss that. We'll dissect NC State's loss to Virginia. But Charlie, first of all, I got my guy Charlie Gribble with me here. How are you doing, sir?
Good. I love to hear some positivity and positive news because I've not gotten that in the past couple of days. So definitely good to hear that, but onward we go.
Yes, sir. Well, before we jump into things, I do want to remind our listeners, as always, visit our iTunes, Google Play Store, Spotify, anywhere that you get the podcast. Give us a rating. Let people know that you enjoy the podcast. And also, if you are watching this on YouTube, make sure to hit like, subscribe, hit get notifications so you can jump in with us each and every time we do this so that you can watch the podcast with us. We do them on Monday nights. We do them post-game. The post-game podcast got a lot of reviews and a lot of people, you know, joining us throughout that. We had over 1,000 people watching at one point the other night between X and YouTube. So do appreciate everybody for jumping in on that. I also want to point out the Pack Power promo that we are still running right now, 75% off for the rest of the week. So that is still happening. So if you haven't jumped on, look, guys, I get it. You might be frustrated by this, but we want people to support us. We want as many people in that community as we can possibly get. So do make sure that you check that out. You never know. Things might get interesting in December. We'll see what happens, and we'll discuss a little bit of that too here on this podcast. But do make sure that you check out Pack Power, 75% off right now when you sign up to be a VIP subscriber. And last thing here, always have to support Amedios. We're not there tonight, but Dave did send me over the Wednesday specials, what he wants to promote. So not tonight, not Tuesday night, but on Wednesday, if you're listening to this podcast on Tuesday, tomorrow night, make sure that you check them out. On Wednesdays, $5 off all bottles of wine, $1 off all glasses of wine, and they have their daily special, which is 2 for $35, choice of two entrees, where you could choose from spaghetti with meat sauce, Polo al medio, or house lasagna. It includes two salads and two cannolis. That is a dine-in only special. I believe that's part of date night, if I remember correctly. I don't have that in front of me, but I think it's called date night. So do make sure you check that out. Again, support them because they support us. We appreciate Amedios for hosting our podcast every Monday night when we are able to make it out. All right. So let's jump right into this thing because, Saturday, again, like I said, not the most fun experience in the world, but it was a game. We do have football to discuss finally after months of waiting. Just not the type of football NC State fans really want to discuss ad nauseum. So let's, Michael and I talked about it on Friday or on Saturday night. We discussed it for well over an hour. But Charlie, just your initial thoughts, because I know you're in a different perspective. You actually happen to be in the stands for that one. I got Aaron to come with me for that game. Aaron filling in for you in that spot. But just your thoughts on this game and what you observed.
Yeah, it was flat out embarrassing, to be honest. I was sitting with a bunch of UVA people, so that did not help really either. But yeah, it just felt like from the start it was over. I mean, it felt like after the first quarter, we were shut down, game was over. Thought the game plan on both sides of the ball wasn't really telling at all. Didn't think really had one. And I thought after the game when Popo Aguirre, our starting linebacker, said, oh, we really didn't expect the quarterback run game. I just was very perplexing because me, you, Corey, and Michael all week were like, oh, really got to limit Pabula's legs, you know, he's mainly a runner at Missouri and at Penn State his previous stops. Failed to do that. Obviously, he had 3 15-yard rushes in this game alone, and he had that total all of last year. So I really thought that was disappointing, and I've gotten some Twitter arguments with some people just regarding the offense, what went wrong there. Obviously, I think the run game was non-existent. I definitely didn't think that helped CJ. I'm not here to defend CJ by any means. You know, definitely missed some throws. I thought Victor Snow was open a couple times, definitely missed a ball to Keenan Jackson there early in the game as well. But people were sending me pictures of open receivers, and I just don't see it. I think that's the biggest glaring issue. I think there's a trust issue, which is kind of concerning considering these are a lot of CJ's friends who he's played with in the past. I'm not defending CJ. Definitely didn't have his best game, and we knew for NC State to be successful this year, he was going to have to raise his level of play and be a third-year quarterback that we all expected. And he didn't do that Saturday, obviously. But I think the more glaring issue is there is no separation in this wide receiving group, especially in man coverage. Multiple times it felt like, you know, CJ was able to extend outside the pocket, extend the play a little bit. And you look downfield and everybody's either trying to block or, you know, not getting open at all. So I think that's, you know, the most concerning thing for me, at least going forward, is can this wide receiver group get some separation? Can we get a run game going to help CJ out? Because, yeah, CJ didn't play well, but it's hard to put it all on him, to be honest.
Yeah, I do want to throw this up there from Sam. He said maybe pods after games like Saturday should be called Drinking with Corey. yeah, and actually we're having a Coke with Corey, but that sounds really bad. It was rum and Coke with Corey, so that's where we're at. It hasn't got to Coke with Corey because that would be – boy, I'm not doing lines on a podcast, so you guys are good there. No, that would get rough. But somebody's gonna clip that, and it's gonna look really bad on me. But the thing I will say, and this is not like combating you here, and because I do agree, there were several plays where CJ sitting back there trying to extend the play and had a clean pocket. The issue was you just didn't have guys open down the field, and some of that is I think he needed to take more risks. I think he needed to, be more willing to give his receivers opportunities to go up and catch the ball. You know, look, the problem is at that point, then if you throw an interception, everybody's going to get on you because you threw to a covered receiver and the guy, intercepted the football. The other side of that too is if you go back and look at it, like I remember one very vividly, Chance Robinson set up on the right side of the line of scrimmage. And on a drag route, he comes all the way across, and he's wide open, granted, about 6 yards downfield, and I think it was like a 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 10, something along those lines. So you would have had to throw it behind the sticks, but there's nobody on him. Like, yeah. There's multiple times where those types of things happen, where you just – some of it is your receivers downfield not getting open, but some of it is CJ just not taking the layups. Like, you gotta take some of your layups. There was a stick route one time on an RPO. I think it might have been the first play of the game. I talked about it this morning. Like, you go back and you watch it, the very first play, it's you know, Duke Scott coming across, and he goes to hand it off to him, and he's looking directly at a linebacker blitzing his guy. Like, take the ball back, hit your stick route on the left side, live to fight another down. Get in front of the sticks instead of falling behind it, because the problem then is you set up, now you have a second 11 on your second play. Now you have to throw the ball. You have to, like, you're already behind the sticks on the very first play of the game. I think that's part of the issue right now is for CJ. I think he's going into this and going, all right, I'm better than I was last year. I'm going to take some of these shots, and I'm going to, you know, but then he looks downfield and you don't see it open. And at this point, you've already missed the layup. You've already missed the guy that's right across, like, I mean, literally in your eyesight at times crossing right in front of you. And one of them too was the play where he ends up holding the football for entirely too long. They had just picked up a first down. They got into the red zone, and it ends up knocking them out of the red zone and set up, I believe, a third and 18 or a third and 21, something along those lines. Like, first of all, held onto the football entirely too long. Either throw it away or try to get somebody, you know, or just scramble and try to run the football at that point, try to get something out of it. Instead, he took a sack after what, like 6 seconds in the pocket, it felt like. So those are the things to me where, you know, yes, I do put some of it on, you know, the lack of a run game, which I thought had more to do with the run blocking than it did with the actual running game itself, because we've seen Duke Scott, what he can do with open holes, and there just were not any on Saturday.
Literally from the first play of the game. It was a
stretch. Oh, yeah. Well, and again, but that one again, the very first play of the game, like he hands off on an RPO instead of, you know, taking that ball back, letting Duke Scott run forward and taking on that linebacker, and then either dipping out to the left side and running or just throwing it straight to the guy right there that's 5 yards downfield, wide open. Like, you got to hit those plays. And I think, again, part of this for Bailey was just trying so much to do things that, you know, show that you're that much better of a quarterback and prove that you're an NFL-worthy quarterback, instead of taking the right play and then living to fight another down, living to get your first down and then take some of those shots. Like, get your offense moving, get into a wide open field, and you can do those types of things. But instead, it was just a lot of trying to make something out of nothing when you had an easy shot in front of you. And that to me, I think, was the biggest concern. And I agree with you. Again, some guys deep down the field, not open, but it's got to be on Bailey to just do the right thing.
Yeah, and David Pollock from ESPN posted like a 4-minute clip, actually just maybe an hour or two ago, of Jay Bailey missing layups, you know, hitting your free throws.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm guessing the free throws were the easy shots downfield instead of throwing behind them.
Yeah, the first play you mentioned was the Chance Robinson drag route, wide open. Really the first play. In his Twitter, you know, kind of CJ Bailey film highlights or whatever. But it just looked like his mechanics were just off. He looked rushed, fluttered, was and you know, unable to really just kind of read the defense, see what he's looking at, which, you know, very concerning considering, you know, he lit up UVA at home this year, and it's been kind of the theme for him away from Carter Finley, is him just kind of not being what, you know, NC State fans see, you know, in Raleigh. So very disappointing. You know, hopefully now they have, like you said, Corey, I think in your podcast, 3 weeks now, really to kind of sit on. You know, I obviously don't think Richmond's going to really be much of a test or much of, you know, a litmus test, I guess, per se, to see where you're at on things. But very concerning. And I think the defense is a whole other nest. You know, Prabhu had all day to throw. You can do really whatever you wanted. But just the lack of creativity, I think, because it was the same kind of just plays over and over again. 50-50 balls to the boundary on offense. Obviously, no lack of, you know, no sense of a running game. So I felt like you were kind of behind the eight ball to start off with, because they knew, you know, CJ Bailey's going to have to throw the ball to be able to get back into this one. But just a lack of in-game adjustments, lack of creativity. Again, thought the Popo Aguirre quote is very concerning. Like, how do we not know this guy is not going to be running the football to be, you know, successful in this game? It's the fewest yards UVA's allowed since 2013 against VMI and 2006 against Duke. So, I mean, the stats just keep rolling in. It gets worse and worse. I kind of want another game to come around. So, you know, all these stats don't keep popping up, but It's reality. It is reality. And it was a primetime spot, which I think is what hurts the most. You're 3:30, you're on ESPN, you just saw Carolina won in Ireland. I mean, so let's, you know, get on the board. You know, let's save it. You know, you've got a third year quarterback, you know, you're about to start. Hopefully this is a big test, but hopefully the rest of the way is a lighter schedule than what you're, you know, maybe used to. There's no Notre Dame, no Clemson, you know, SMU. And you just throw up a dud. And now, you know, recruits see that, possible transfer portal guys see that, you know, on national TV. And it's just hard to be, you know, a player or a recruit and get behind, you know, the staff right now after seeing that. So, you know, luckily there is 11 games. I don't necessarily think it's time to hit the panic button, but there is concerns with this team. And I agree with Michael. I watched y'all's podcast last on Sunday on the way home. It was kind of a sobering watch for me on the way home, but might have to start playing some new guys, see what you have, because the guys are clearly not going to cut it. They're going to win you a couple games, games like Richmond or, you know, some modern bottom feeder in the ACC, but it's time to maybe rotate in some guys. We said this last year, too, with some of the transfer portal pieces we brought in that just weren't cutting it. So very concerning, both sides of the ball. Luckily, you're able to flush it. It's just one game, but you are now behind the eight ball when it comes to, you know, the 10-win season that all NC State fans are wanting for, or an ACC championship appearance. Now you got to hope UVA, you know, costs up the game, and their schedule's damn near as light as State's. So,
well, except for a road game against SMU. I mean, that's about as tough as you can ask for, because SMU hasn't lost an ACC play at home yet.
Yeah, so that's the one they fold in, but just brutal. Just a brutal watch. You know, I was hoping for – luckily we scored. I was so happy we scored at least something. I didn't want to get shut out. And the throw that TJ made down the field to get there to the one-yard line before Will Wilson ran it in was perfect. It was kind of frustrating. I was like, man, where was this all day? I think he hit Vander Ploeg on like a little like post route at the front pylon. It was probably his best play of the day. And I was like, oh, man, you know, where was this the entire time? He set his feet, threw confidently. I don't know. I don't think it was the environment necessarily, too. The fact that it was a sellout, I thought was a little generous. There's you know, multiple holes, you know, up top. Didn't really think it was a sellout, but it's got to be better, plain and simple. And it's got to be better quick, or, you know, State fans are really going to be out before
they already are. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of them already are. All right, let's take a quick break here, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to do some of these. I want to pop up some of these comments, but I want to take a quick break here on the Pac Power Weekly podcast.
Hey, Tiffany Stratton here from the WWE SmackDown. Tiffy time can be crazy, y'all, and when I get a break, that means it's Chumba time. Chumba Casino has hundreds of online social games and new titles landing every week. There's always something fresh to try, and the daily boosts make Chumba even more fun. They're little epiphanies that make my day sparkle. Ready for a fun way to switch off and take some time for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, welcome back, everybody, and let's talk. I want to throw up some of these comments really quickly here. Kelly said, CJ has to play like a leader. He looked nervous. His runs are like watching a deer heading towards a car, indecisive and herky-jerky, and when he does make a decision, he runs right into a tackle, which is the car. You know, the one thing I will say, I thought, you know, I've heard him, you know, say he runs like a baby deer, I think was what one player said last year. But, you know, the thing about it is, too, like his running style is completely different. But when you saw Bo Perbula pull back an RPO, it was, I mean, straight to the races. It was no indecisiveness. It was immediately, all right, I know exactly where I'm going to go. I'm going to roll out to the right here, get my blocker. I've got everything set up. And it just didn't feel like that for CJ. It felt like if he pulled it back again, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, necessarily that he was slow, but it just seemed more hesitant. It seemed like, all right, I got to figure out exactly where I'm going to go first and then go instead of just running straight into contact or running straight away from it and having those opportunities. So, yes, it's a little bit different style, but I felt like Bo Perbula looked like the more confident runner on that one. Kelly also said Coach D can have all the sayings he wants to use to motivate his team, but his main job is to have his staff players ready to play. He did not. After 14 years, that cannot happen. He's a veteran coach. And I think that's where everybody is right now. And Sam said something similar too. He said, to paraphrase Gomer Pyle, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 14 effing times. Shame on me. Time for Dave to go. Bring on Phil, talking about Phillip Rivers here. You know, and that's like, I think that's a lot of people's sentiments now. And that's one thing that Dave is going to have to figure out how to shed now at this point, because there was a lot of people going into the season. Obviously, you know, I think everybody read the technician articles. Technician was already, you know, starting the conversation before he ever got to that point. But there's a lot of people that were already kind of on the outs here. You're already like, all right, man, you know, look, guys, like you got to prove something to me. And this proved absolutely nothing to anybody. And now you have 3 weeks before you're going to play a game of consequence that people are actually going to believe that you might be back. You're on every, you know, loser of the week article right now. Everybody's already jumped ship and said, we're done with this team. You know, we believed in them coming into this thing, and it's not just the loss. It's the way you lost. It's not even looking remotely. Like I said this after the game on Saturday, there was not a point in that entire game where it didn't look like UVA was in full control. I mean, from the very beginning, like you said, like we talked about, you know, getting Duke Scott immediately out of the gate, taking him down for a 1 yard loss, NC State not picking up a third down, even though the first drive for UVA didn't go very far. They got an 11-yard rush on the first play on an RPO, and zero hesitation from Bo Pribula. And also, you had that on film. If you didn't think that he was going to do it going into the game, that's the first play. The second successful play they had was on the very next drive, an 18-yard rush by Bo Pribula. So, like, you had it. You had it in front of you. You had it on the technology edge, you had it on the sidelines, too. So I think that's the biggest thing, is it's not just the lack of preparation going into it. It's a lack of in-game adjustments. It's a lack of not understanding the situation that you have in front of you and not changing it. And yes, you can hang your head after, you know, getting a long drive and CJ Bailey fumbling the football, you know, inside the 20-yard line, but like, you gotta still be able to respond. And there was zero response from NC State on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Pribula completed 9 passes the entire game.
I don't think he completed a pass until the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, he completed 9 passes the entire game, but the game plan for him wasn't to maybe stop the run. It hurts, you know, obviously, what else is Dave going to say after the game? Didn't have the guys prepared, you know, falls on me as a coach. But how many times do you have to hear that? You know, yeah. I think State fans are, because we've heard it time and time again, you know, didn't have the team prepared, you know, falls on me as a coach. And I just think NC State fans are tired of hearing about it. And it's, you're 1-7 in like national primetime games, 1-7. And I think NC State fans are just kind of fed up with that. To be honest, I mean, the one win was against Texas Tech at home. And man, I mean, that was, you know, peak Dave Doran, everybody was getting behind that team, you know, but ever since you've got nothing. So, you know, very, very, very concerning. You gotta find a way to get maybe some more guys on the field to play a little bit, but just the lack of in-game adjustments too. I mean, even UVA did a flea flicker to start the second half. You know, some NC State off guard. I think they completed it for about 30, 35 yards. You know, it just felt like, you know, UVA ran their game plan and then just shoved it right down NC State's throat. I mean, there was just no stopping it. I knew going in, you know, I thought I had this game as a loss for NC State. Just going to say that up front. But 34-8, I knew the O-line and D-line, the trenches were going to be a problem for NC State, considering just how experienced, how old UVA's O-line and D-line were. But, man, it just looked like men the boys out there. I mean, Pribula had a throw whenever he did decide to throw. But just the lack of a QB spy, I thought, was very puzzling, especially after the first drive. I'm like, okay, we might want to, you know, put a spy on him if he's going to continue to run like this. And he just ran for work, you know, wherever and whatever he wanted. I'm curious to see if he's going to be able to do that all year, because obviously against NC State, he was definitely able to. I don't think he'll be able to do that against other teams. He'll probably have to use his arm a little bit more. So, you know, all these UVA fans were asking me, like, oh, you know, like, how good is UVA? Like, we might be, like, really good. And don't get me wrong, I think they will be really good. I think they will compete for ACC championship. They'll be, you know, one of the teams in the mix down the stretch. But I told everybody that I was around, I was like, I don't know how easy, like how hard you can judge this UVA team off that one game, because I just think ACC looked that bad, to be honest. It just, from every area of the field, it felt like, you know, we were just one step behind, lack of the game plan entirely. So I don't know what you do, to be honest. I think you have to, like I said, start some more guys, start some new different guys. I think Richmond's a good team to do that against, since hopefully You'll be up, and I'm curious to see how Dave kind of attacks that game too. Because I mean, obviously, you're probably going to be 3 to 4 score favorites, but if you really want to get this fan base back into it, sorry, Richmond, we might have to pound them. Like, you might just have to get all the dogs out and just run up the score. And I know that's against Dave's MO. Doesn't like run up the score. Definitely gets some new guys in there. So I'm curious to see how he does it, but I definitely think at this point TJ needs a confidence boost to us. I don't think he was trying to be the hero, and yes, we do need TJ to be a hero at times, but it just felt like every play he was trying to be that, and it's just not sustainable football.
Yeah, this was not the game where you needed that, though. I mean, like, honestly, if you have an offense that's able to be productive in this game, you probably could have kept it tight with UVA. Because, like, UVA, I mean, yes, I know they were up. Do what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
34 points isn't terrible. Like, if the offense.
Yeah, well, they also took their foot off the gas a little bit, too, at the very end there. So it probably could have been worse. But what I was going to say is, like, 17-0 at the half. If you get that touchdown at 17-7, or you get a field goal somewhere in there 17-10, like, that feels like a reachable goal. Instead, you're down 17-0, and you just punted on your last your final drive, going into halftime, and you knew UVA was going to get the ball first like that. So that was the even more surprising part, was the fact that they just couldn't get anything going at the very end there. I'm going to throw these comments up here really quickly too. I'm awesome. -WillJ said, when you're paying a QB this much money, you can't have what you saw Saturday. And it's the truth. I mean, that's where we're at in college football now. Like, as much as some teams are pushing back against bringing pro players back, I mean, a lot of these players are being paid like pros. Like, some of these players are getting paid league minimum NFL contracts at this point. So you better go out there and perform like you're good enough to make it to the next level. And the big thing too is, you got to lift up the other players around you. As much as we talked about, you know, your wide receivers not getting separation, as much as we talked about, you know, some blocks being missed and things along those lines, or, you know, I talked about it, Preston Douglas chip block that he missed earlier this morning, Davion Goss, obviously that block that he missed, a lot of people have talked about, but like, when those things happen, he's typically good enough to be able to get out of those things, except on the road. And I don't know why. That's like his biggest bugaboo, is he just cannot perform on the road. He'll have another opportunity in 3 weeks. If you don't step up in that game, I mean, you thought it was bad now. It's going to be really bad then, because it's, you know, at that point, you've lost two games on the road. You lost two games and people were like, all right, man, this is where you prove it. This is where you prove it. And he didn't do it in either one. I do want to throw this up here too. New handle 2025 said destroyed in week 0 of year 14. That is so Dave Doran. It kind of is, unfortunately. Yep. That's the issue that you're running into right now. And I did want to throw this up here, too, because I want to talk about the defense really quickly. Kelly also said, we will win or lose all based on CJ. This team's defense is a C-minus defense. Have to win game day or games by scoring points. Not sure that's a Coach Jordan thing. And that brings up two different things here, because, you know, I wanted to talk about the defense. I wanted to pop this up really quickly because it was something I saw when I watched back. And watch this play. They had, you know, they had a behind angle that was all 22 angle as well. But the behind angle when this play happened is still baffling to me. This is what Bo Prabula's pocket looked like. 45-yard touchdown throw. I actually think it was the 47-yard wheel route. Actually, so I'm, or not, not the 47-yard throw to a different receiver. So I don't know that it was the wheel route on this one, but like, it doesn't get more clean than that, first of all. And also, you're rushing three. You've got everybody else going other ways. So you're not rushing more than three guys. It's all defensive linemen trying to get to the quarterback here. And they hit a 45-yard pass downfield, or a 47-yard pass, whichever one it was. How in the hell do you get that open deep down the field when you're only rushing three? Like, there's a drop 8 on this. And first of all, we see linebackers across the middle covering nobody. So it baffles me that it can be that bad that often. And again, it's, you know, a lot of people have kind of harped on this whole thing. Oh man, only three down linemen. It's going to be really bad. Can't believe that, you know, they don't rush any more than that. And sometimes they do. Obviously, you know, sometimes you'll have Harvey Dyson running a stunt like they did in that sack that they got. We also saw Kevon Carter get half of that sack as well because they were running a stunt and go opposite ways. They get to him in the backfield. That was great. But the thing is, if you're not doing that, the coverage has got to be good. The coverage has got to be able to stop, Bo Prabula from hitting a pass deep downfield. And throwing this up one more time, you've literally got a free blitz to Bo Prabula there, especially if you're not, you know, if you're just going to be dropping back in the coverage anyways. So the fact that they didn't have anybody on him as a spy the entire time, and mind you, I said this morning, the one guy that talked about it, Popo Aguirre, that talked about the fact that they didn't think he was going to run that much, that's your middle linebacker. That's usually the guy that plays spy for you. So yeah. The fact that he didn't know they were going to rush that much, and he's your typical spy in those situations, that's even more concerning in that situation. So just your thoughts on the defense on Saturday. Again, I don't think the defense was the major problem in this one. Was it frustrating to see that happen? Yes, sure. Was it frustrating to have as many breakdowns in coverage? Yes, sure. But you expect those things in week zero and week one. Those things sometimes happen. The fact that the offense didn't show up was the more concerning part to me, but just your thoughts on the defense as a whole here.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. The offense is more than likely what lost you the game. I definitely don't think the defense really helped you out either, but I thought Popo Aguirre was the best player on the field. I guess if you are trying to look for some positive, finished with a team high tackles for NC State in their debut. So definitely thought that was positive. He did get smoked in coverage on the wheel route, I think. It was him that got smoked on the wheel route. Yeah. Touchdown.
It was.
So
I think he passed it off to a safety that he thought was going to be there, but I think King Mack was drifting over and didn't realize it was going to be there.
Yeah, so definitely some things have changed. I thought the most infuriating part, because I was in the car when I saw the tweet, and he was like, yeah, I didn't expect the QB run. I was just like, whew, okay. That's news to me, because I knew going – like, I'm not even the smartest football guy, but I knew going in that guy was going to have to run to be successful. So, very concerning. I mean, and I think there was a lot of concerns about DJ Elliott coming into the year, just in general, knowing his background. Never really had a great defense at his previous stops, even if it was NFL, college. So, it was already kind of concerning hire when Gibson left for Marshall. So,
yeah,
you have to, a prove it thing for us, for NC State. He has yet to do it, to be honest. And I just think, the big issue last year was lack of a pass rush. Didn't see that much in this game either. And I'll be curious to see. I think UVA overall, I think that might be the best O-line we do see all year. So I'll be curious to see if we do, see a little bit more of a pass rush to get to the quarterback. Because I don't think, especially the next 2 weeks, we'll have a quarterback that's as mobile as Prabula was. So. Definitely the coverage has to be better, but they only completed 9 passes, to be honest. So, we went in knowing this, that secondary might be better. That would be the highlight of this defense, because there was questions on the D-line. There is questions in the linebacking group, but the 9 times he did throw, people were open, and people were open for a while. So, very concerning. It was the most yards per dropback for UVA, and I think 6 or 7 years. It's just kind of, they had an historic day, in a highlight way, and we had a historic way in a down low way. So it's rough. It was rough watching it, Corey. I know in the press box, it might have been just as rough, but it just felt like I was positive too on the first drive. Defense got a stop too, right after we went 3 and out, defense came up with a stop, and then we didn't do anything either, and I just felt like the wheels fell off in general. But it's the lack of in-game adjustments, too, for me. Yeah. We came out of the locker room, and we just decided to say, hey, the game plan that we came in going with, that's going to work. Like, let's wake up a little bit, people. Like, it's okay to, scrap everything that you just, had going in the last 2 weeks that you're preparing for UVA and try something different, because clearly this isn't working at all. So, it's the offense for CJ Bailey, lack of creativity, lack of separation from receivers for me. And then on defense, it's the lack of adjusting to whatever UVA is throwing at you, because UVA just sat back and said, hey, here's our game plan, and State, you know, didn't adjust at all, and UVA was like, hey, fine, we'll just throw it right down your throat, and that's what they did.
Yeah, I mean, to their credit a little bit, the only thing I will say is the flea flicker at the very beginning, you throw that out there, and it's like, oh, well, we game planned for, you know, being able to get to him in the second half, and then that happens. And then again, you know, the deep pass there
Yeah, let's not mention the longest drive in UVA program history either. Let's go ahead and not mention that either. I mean, inability to get out from fourth down. I mean, it was fourth and one multiple times, Corey. I was just like, hey, just run it with Prabula. They're gonna get it. This is what they kept heading off to the running back Middlebrook, and I was like, why? What are y'all doing? Just do an RPO. We don't have anybody to cover the running back. If he does a half solid fake to Middlebrook, Prabula is at least picking up 5 to 6 yards every play, literally every play.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that you don't know when the next time NC State might be facing a dual threat quarterback. I will mention this, not that he's necessarily the starter, but Jared Curtis in high school. I mean, dude threw for, you know, last year threw for just over 2,000 yards. One of the major reasons why he was considered one of the best quarterbacks in the country was because of the fact that he also ran the football really well. Last year, as a senior, go ahead, what's up?
I don't know why they're not starting him, to be honest.
No, and they probably will. I mean, they will more than likely be using him in every game, and they probably, by that point, might be starting him. We don't know. But I will just mention this really quickly. His stats last year, 64 carries, 614 yards. Now, mind you, it's at the high school level. But 9.6 yards per carry, 11 touchdowns. The year prior, 88 carries for 637 yards, 18 rushing touchdowns. So clearly he's somebody that can use his legs, and I'm sure after seeing the film of NC State, they're going to go, all right, man, Jared Curtis, we're gonna start using your legs a little more. We're gonna let you run against this team and maybe this team only, because we see that there's a weakness there, and we want to make sure that you're able to, we're able to take advantage of that. But that'll be certainly something interesting to watch, and that could be something that they go to in that game. And again, you know, again, it's part of the lack of pressure. It's also Pat said, can he break the all time tackles record, Popo Aguirre, this year? It's possible. I mean, look, the first game he played, if I remember correctly, it was Steven Tulloch and it was Peyton Wilson and one other player for the most tackles in a single game in NC State history. So that's a pretty good mark to start off with in that game. But, yeah, I mean, 18 tackles in his first game is huge. But that also says a lot about the other guys that weren't able to get him on the first play. Your defensive line is not able to take a guy down because – they're running the football and they're able to get past the first line. And then they get to the second level and AJ Richardson gets his ankles broken multiple times by Bo Bibula. That's going to lead to Popo Aguirre probably finishing that because he's the backup there, the guy right at the next level to get that tackle. So that's something that is going to be interesting to watch. I think he did a very good job. I will also commend King Mack. I thought he looked very good in this game. I also thought that Brian Nelson looked really good in this game. And now that's part of why Bo Prabula ran the football so much, because there were, I mean, five or six of those runs were dropbacks where he got back into his, you know, his three-step, five-step drop, whatever he's doing at that time, surveys the field, doesn't see anybody open, and then just scrambles and goes, all right, we're going to pick up 5-6 yards this way, and we're going to live to fight another down. And that's part of why he was so successful on Saturday. And again, I keep going back to it. That's why CJ Bailey wasn't in this game. You got to hit your layups. You got to do the easy things first to set up the hard things, to set up the more intricate plays and set up what could ultimately score you touchdowns. But once you're not even getting over your, to your side of the field or to your opponent's side of the field all game long, that's never going to win you a game. So I think that's the biggest thing that NC State has to work on these next 2 weeks before you get to Richmond, and then really hunker down on it and get it all completely corrected before you get to Vanderbilt. Any other thoughts on this game? I do want to take another quick break here, but Charlie, anything else on what we've been talking about really quickly?
And you mentioned the scouting. Now every other team in the country knows how to attack the NC State team. I mean, I love and UVA at the gate. You know, I don't think Dave did, obviously, because I think he had a quote yesterday or 2 days ago saying, you know, I wouldn't sign up for week zero again. And I think you can see why, because now teams know how to attack the NC State team. I think you can kind of hide some weaknesses if you're playing a team like Richmond or, you know, who else we have on the schedule, like maybe App State.
Yeah.
Like you can hide some of your weaknesses, some areas that you lack, and maybe surprise some other teams out, like, you know, latter half of the schedule. But now I feel like UVA just went out there and just said, here's where NC State is lacking in a big way. So it'll be interesting to see how Dave can turn this team around. He's had a history of being able to do that, so we'll see. Yeah. But definitely concerning. You know, I've seen enough CJ Bailey tape to think that he's going to be able to have a bounce back game. Obviously, I'm not going to count it against Richmond. I don't think that really matters, but I think he has enough raw skill and talent. And I get confused with NC State fans when, you know, they're harping on Bailey and they're, you know, criticizing him heavily. Yes, he'd have the best game, but if you're NC State, in terms of raw talent, what other quarterback would you expect for NC State? Like, in terms of, you know, being able to get realistically with your budget, like, this guy is a third-year guy. Like, he's made multiple progressions, you know, through the first 2 years here at NC State. So in terms of talent and raw ability, I don't know who else NC State wants or thinks they could have gotten. So, sit down his best game is what it is. I think you have to move on. I will be interested to see, though, down the stretch. There's kind of a philosophy. Yes, you paid up front for C.J. Bailey. You paid him a lot of money. And you got a lot of guys that I think could be complimenting to where C.J. Bailey highlights them. You know, maybe if it doesn't work out, maybe your philosophy changes next year and you go and you get a couple more flashier pieces that spread your money out farther across the offense outside of just one guy and let the complementary pieces, you know, kind of highlight or bring a strength to a quarterback that doesn't cost you as much or who doesn't, you know, maybe didn't play well at his last stop and NC State can put him in a better light. So I'd be curious to see if that's a philosophy that needs to be looked at in the year, but luckily, it is one game. So
yeah, it didn't work so well with Brennan Armstrong a few years ago. It didn't work as well with Grayson McCall, obviously. Grayson McCall was down with injury, but what? Like
Western Carolina, he was a SoCon Player of the Week. Definitely happy for him, but people were like, oh, we should have Lex Thomas and like kept Terrell Anderson and Hollywood Smothers, but whatever.
Yeah, I think it's just some people just saying things at that point. All right, let's take another quick break here. On the Pac Power Weekly podcast, on the next segment, we'll discuss why this loss was a little more shocking and what it means for the rest of the season, along with some women's soccer, some success for NC State on the next segment on the Pac Power Weekly podcast. All right, welcome back to the Pac Power podcast, and let's discuss why this game probably was a little more shocking than some of the other, you know, really bad defeats that NC State has had under Dave Doran, especially recently. And I talked about it a little bit on Saturday. I don't want to like, I don't want this to, if any UVA fans are watching this, I don't want this to be like, you know, oh, well, you know, you guys aren't as good as any of those teams because they certainly are. I think it's a little more easy for NC State fans to stomach when something like this happens to or happens against a Notre Dame on the road or happens against a Miami on the road or, you know, even, you know, a Pitt on the road that you're used to. Like, all right, you're hearing so much about this new quarterback and you've seen something or, you know, Clemson of the past or FSU of the past. Like, you got used to those name value teams and it's like, all right, man, if you didn't show up in those, just – get back on track the next week, get back on track moving forward. And, you know, people will be right back on the train. The sobering reality that teams like Duke are spending equal to you and getting more success. Duke just won the ACC championship game last year. The fact that a team like UVA is clearly spending more than you, they spent over $20 million this past year and, you know, reach an ACC championship game this past year and are more physical than you and have a, you know, a more full roster with more depth to it. And those things are now getting ahead of NC State. Those teams are now, you know, past the point of where NC State is. And you lose in this fashion to a team like that. Like, I just think, again, not to say that UVA doesn't have the name value. Obviously, everybody knows who UVA is, but But when you think of the football powerhouses, that's not who you think of. So now the sobering reality that like a team like that is also ahead of NC State, along with the Miamis and the Notre Dames and the Clemsons that you might have to face on a regular basis. That's along with Louisville spending more money and along with, you know, some other teams in the ACC spending more money than you, that's a really frustrating thing to have to figure out for NC State fans coming out of this past weekend too, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, why there was so much optimism for NC State coming into the year was you see like a Duke, a UVA, past couple ACC championship, you know, teams, especially from North Carolina, made it to the big game, made it to Charlotte. It's because they had a very competent quarterback, which I believe NC State does, and they had a light schedule, which I do think NC State does. So
they took advantage of it. That's the problem. Yeah. NC State didn't already.
And you're allowed maybe a one-game slip-up, you know, and I think especially in conference, and you still have a lot of games that Dave Doran historically.
That was more than a slip-up. That's all I'll say.
That's reality. That's very true. I mean, you still have Duke, who historically we have not played well against. Wake Forest, as we all know, has given us fits. So you really didn't want to have happen what happened on Saturday in week zero before, you know, three-fourths of the country hasn't even kicked off in the first game yet. So, very concerning. It really sucks. It feels like you really had a great opportunity. I really thought C.J. Bailey was the better quarterback on paper heading into this game too. And just to throw up a dud, you know, on national TV, I think was, you know, the big kind of sting there for Dave Dorn and NC State. And it's, like I said earlier, it's an easy scout now because now you know where to attack this NC State team on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I did want to throw this up there too. Kelly said coach should have had a press conference this afternoon. Waiting a full 10 days until you meet the press is not a good thing for the fans. State's philosophy on this practice is silly. The one thing I will mention about that, no, he did not have a press conference today, but that was actually already decided last week before, you know, any of this ever happened. And they will have availability on Tuesday is the plan. That was the only day that they had set aside for this week was Tuesday, and they'll get back to the norm next week. But yeah, the thing about it is like that was already pre-planned. So as much as it is a bad look now, that was not the plan. Was not like, okay, well, we lost it and we're gonna sit this one out on Monday. No, it was actually sent out like last Monday when they set the week. And then the next 2 weeks before they get to that point. Pat here said the Joker, talking about Joker Phillips, is out to destroy our productivity out wide. Having a Locklear, talking about Ashley and Locklear, talking about Gavin Locklear actually on staff, helps with playing time and opportunities. I guess he's talking about Ashley and Locklear there. McDonald with the guys that we've had two seasons would have killed it. You know, look, and I have a tough time really, you know, getting on Joker for this because I do feel like there's been, you know, it's like, I'm not going to like, woe is me on Joker Phillips here, but like the dude actually built up a guy like Terrell Anderson last year into what could have been a very good receiver. And then he goes somewhere else, you know, not to say that he built up, you know, Noah Rogers into an elite receiver and things like that, but he was at least a downfield threat from time to time. And he made him into a better receiver, I feel like, at NC State. And then, obviously, you know, you lose some other pieces that you had. And, you know, as much as if anybody wants to get on Gavin Locklear, look at the tight ends from last year. Look at the tight ends this year. I felt like they were probably the better players as far as receivers. Vander Plug led NC State in receiving. Preston Douglas, I mentioned the missed block a couple times, but I felt like he played really well in this game too. So – now, you want to get on that, but like that certainly has helped NC State with the fact that you've had good tight ends over the last few years. And again, I think part of the reason why Ashton Locklear was on the field on Saturday, and if he comes down with that one catch, by the way, like that was one of the better looking and more athletic plays that NC State had on Saturday. He just unfortunately stepped first foot out of bounds, so that's not as good of a look. But again, the thing is like, if I'm looking at the receivers, like the guys that probably would have been in those places, I'm a little shocked that Jarrell Bolder wasn't playing over him, but I don't see what's going on behind the scenes. And we haven't seen Jarrell Bolder on the field to this point. I would like to see Chance Robinson more there because I felt like Chance Robinson actually got open and probably could have done some things if he got the ball in his hands, but there was a multiple times where he got open and just didn't get it. And then also, if you get back, you know, your young receiver in Tyree Copper, he was out for this game due to injury. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a serious injury for a long length of time. We won't get an injury report before the Richmond game. We won't get an injury report until Louisville again, so we won't specifically know who's in or out. We'll just have to find out once we get to games. But he's one guy that I'm looking for to potentially step up in that role and play a bigger role, either at the slot receiver position or on the outside. Either way, he can play on both those spots. So he'll be one to watch if he comes back. And again, you know, I think we talked about it beforehand, you know, kind of bringing in some other players and seeing what they're capable of. Sure, do that at the wide receiver position, but then refine it. Then find the guys that are working, find the guys that are having success, and refine it and narrow this down to like a six-man rotation. I'm fine with rotating, you know, two guys in at the slot receiver, at the X receiver, at the wide receiver. Or if you want to get all of them playing time, put four guys out there. Go five wide and make it clear that you're going to pass the football, get the pass protection that you have been getting, and be able to set things up there. I mean, that's the thing is if you want to get all these rotations in, you're just not going to get any cohesiveness. And that's the biggest issue for NC State this past couple of years. And it's been that way a little while. So I think it's more of a Dave Doran problem than it is a Joker Phillips problem at this point. The fact that it's been going on so long that they just have too many guys rotating in and out. And you just, it makes it hard when you look to the right and you're like, all right, is that guy going to get open? I don't know. And then you look over there and he's wide open, but you've already missed your opportunity. So it's getting that cohesiveness and that chemistry down with these guys. I just don't think that it's there on a consistent enough basis.
Yeah, I think if you're NC State, you're kind of in a tough spot too. I know no one wants to hear about NIL, donating to the program, all this stuff, because I think Dave has opportunities to show that this program or this team or across his 14-year tenure has been worthy of you know, increased NIL, increased you know budget, being able to go out and grab or retain some guys that you had in the past couple of years. And I think if you're NC State, you don't have enough money between basketball and football to make both sports great. So, and you have this this whole little 2030 bubble kind of sit on top of you right now when conference realignment's going to happen. You're going to see teams shift to the Big Ten, Big 12, SEC, and you really want to put your best foot forward if you're NC State to have a case for the SEC or for the Big 12, so you don't get left behind. I think right now we're watching NC State get left behind with teams like UVA now night and day just collapsing on us. And I think we tried to do that for basketball. We put all of our money into basketball last year. Don't want to bring that up, but we all know what the result was for that too. So now people with the money are pulling back from that and saying, I don't really trust Dave. You know, I've seen this for 14 years. He had his chances pre-INIL to, you know, get you to the big game, get you to 10 wins, get you to an ACC championship appearance. And it's kind of brutal too, because I think, you know, he was great pre-expanded playoff. And I think if we had a 2014 playoff, I think the stat was, you know, State would have been in the conference playoff three times because we've been ranked three times, you know, in the past. But now it's only, you know, still a 12-team playoff. It's not the BCS. It's now a 12-team playoff, and I think it will extend to 24 in the future. So it's rough time, I think, if you are Dave, and now, you know, you have games like this where now there's teams spending more money, and you see increased NIL budgets from teams across the ACC. I mean, truth be told, I think the State's in the bottom third in spending for football, and you kind of expect Dave Doran and you expect the staff to be able to elevate these players, and the sad reality is we're not able to. It's clearly not working. The elevation is not enough to overcome the spending and you know, grabbing guys from different schools who have a lot of experience and did play well. And I think that's just kind of an uphill battle now, to be honest.
The thing is, and I said this on the podcast a few weeks ago, if you're Dave Doran, if you're NC State, if you want to get more money, you got to win and you got to take advantage of these opportunities. Like that's, I mean, not every program is going to be like UVA and say, all right, Tony Elliott, you've sucked for the last 2-3 years. What do we need to do to get you winning? and then they throw a boatload of money at him. I mean, like NC State fans are not doing that right now, especially not in year 14, and they didn't do it in year 12. They didn't do it in year 13. They didn't do year 14 because of the fact that you have a baseline. You understand what has happened in the past, and it's hard for people to reconcile with that and say, all right, I'm gonna throw a boatload of money at you and see what you can do with a better roster, because you're doing it against teams that are equivalent money spenders to you. Like, and again, UVA is not one. UVA spends more money than NC State, but you're going to face some teams down the stretch that do spend as much or less money than you. Are you going to be able to beat those teams? Are you going to be able to do that? Because teams like Wake Forest, Duke are spending equivalent money to you. Teams like Syracuse are doing the exact same thing. Louisville spending more money than you, but you know, that's a home game. It's an opportunity for you to prove yourself. And what is this?
You're not supposed to win a game.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I can't remember. I meant to say you entered a game as underdogs, maybe by 6 or more points, and won a game. To be honest, like, what a game that you're not supposed to get the fan base excited, to get the resources there, get the money there. And it just hadn't happened. He's 1-7 in primetime games, Corey. 1-7. Mm-hmm.
And here's the point here, too, from Southern Stringer said he's paid $6 million to have the team prepared. Jeez. He's paid $6 million. I would say between the two of them, between him and CJ Bailey, it's somewhere around $9 million. So if we're talking about how much money is being spent for NC State to go out there and flop on a national stage, that's a lot of money tied up in two people, one the head coach and one the quarterback for your team, the one that's supposed to be leading the team on Saturdays. And then, Kenley, I wanted to throw up this comment here too. Just a good point here. CJ's feet are a big problem. His mechanics are off. He looked like a freshman. I think part of that was, again, him coming out there and playing timid. I think part of it was it getting in his head that he struggled on the road, it getting in his head that, you know, he has to be the dude for this team. And I think it just, he needs to take a step back and realize, like, you've got to be the leader of this team. You've got to be the reason why this team is successful. You can't go out there and try to do things that are not the best in the best decision for the team. And we'll see if that moving forward is ultimately what he does. Cause I do think he's got a lot left in him. And I think a lot of people have given up on him. I saw people on Instagram posting stuff saying he's a fraud. I saw, you know, people saying I'm out on him completely, but people that have watched him in the past know that wasn't CJ Bailey on Saturday. Unfortunately, it is CJ Bailey on the road. So he's got to rectify that situation.
Yeah, it's tough that it happened on the road and in prime time. But like I said earlier, if you're NC State, you weren't getting a better quarterback than CJ, whether out of the portal, whether through high school recruiting, you weren't getting another better option than this. So if you're not liking this option, obviously no one loved what he did on Saturday. But if you're already going to can him after one game, I'm not really sure what else you wanted if you're an NC State fan from a quarterback standpoint, because you weren't getting another better option. You just weren't.
Well, I do want to throw this up there really quickly, or I wanted to talk about this really quickly. I try to save enough time. We wanted to get out of these in an hour, but I try to save enough time to talk about Jade Bordalo and the NC State women's soccer team. She had a hat trick on Sunday. She had a brace in the previous game. So 5 goals last week alone from Jade Bordalo. This team is now 6-0 after a 6-1 win over Davidson on Sunday. You also had Riley Pickles as well with a shutout, or, you know, getting a shutout the previous game. And for NC State right now, this team, again, 6-0, the best start since 2008, if I remember correctly. Also, the most wins that NC State has had since 2022. Like, we're talking about 6 games into the season, and this team already has more wins than they've had since 2022. That was a team that won, I believe that team won 7 games. So you're already, like, almost at that mark alone. It is more wins than NC State had last season. They had 5 last season, and now you're at 6. So, also the most single game goals for NC State since October 4th of 2018, almost a full 8 years on that. So, again, like, it's remarkable to see what this program has been able to do already in year 2 under Gary Higgins. Not only that, but then also the fact that they are, you know, at this point, Jade Bordalo was also named the National Offensive Player of the Week. for her efforts this past week. She's also up to 8 goals through 6 games. Like, it's just, it's remarkable to see what she's been able to do this season. Shout out to our guy, Chris, for being there last night, getting those photos. I've got some quotes that I actually need to put into a story and have something on Jay Bortolo and what she's been able to accomplish this season. But, you know, this team as a whole, I mean, you don't get to 6 goals unless you have a good team overall. She had Jay Bortolo also had an assist in that game last night. So I believe that's a total of what, 6-7 points total, because they counted as a goal as 2 and the assist is 1. So 7 points overall for her in that game last night. But it feels like, and this was a redemption game for this team too. Last year, they lost to Davidson on the road. It was, you know, one of the early season losses, but it was a humbling one. It's like, you know, we're not even on the level of this team yet. We're not even there, you know, with you know, an in-state opponent that's not even, you know, a Power 4 opponent at this point. And that's kind of where things stood going into that one. And it's, you know, again, it's humbling for that team. And thank God, you know, they're able to give a little bit of positivity to some NC State fans, because it hasn't been good outside of that. So I think if they can continue making this run, it gives NC State something positive to talk about. The other thing too, over the weekend, Ian Condon on campus for NC State, an official visit. That's a guy that by 24/7 is ranked as a 4-star. I think that's the number 77 overall player in the country. And somebody that if you're NC State, you really want to get. He's out of the D.C. area. This was his first official visit. Actually talked to him earlier today. I will have a story out on that tomorrow as well. But he was somebody that was really blown away by the effort level that Justin Gainey, Riley Collins, and the rest of the staff put into him. And you know, you got a chance to kind of look at his game and stuff along those lines. Like, what do you think of him as a potential addition? Listed as a power forward, but somebody that can stretch it, rebound the ball well for you, play good defense too.
Yeah, definitely has a good frame. 6'7", 220. Definitely something you can work with. I think it's going to be a guy that you can, if you are able to land him, that you can bring in and kind of develop him into, because I think that's going to be important for Justin Gainey as well. Just, you know, with him being here, I think obviously you're going to have to make some splashes in the portal, but also, you know, developing that recruiting game through the high school ranks, bringing in guys that you can, you know, develop a little bit, that has already a good frame, that you kind of get, you know, lean muscle mass on. I think this is a guy that NC State does have a good shot with, that you can work on and you can bring in. So very curious to see where that lands. Love that, you know, you're recruiting even if you're not playing, which I think is always a good thing. And yeah, dude, shout out for the women's soccer team, because the men's soccer team, Corey, is not holding up their end of the tie against FAU over the weekend, and then a loss against FIU in Florida. So not a good Florida trip for Mark Hubbard and the squad. I really do think that this team misses Donovan Phillip a lot. You know, you go into the year at the number 2 team in the country, slip to 20 after a tie at home, and then obviously you're not going to be ranked anymore after the weekend results. So it's rough. It's rough all around for NC State. You know, NC State's able to take their licks. You know, hard, tough together, as Dave Dorn says. That's what it's got to be moving forward.
I'm trying to finish on a positive note, Charlie. Damn it. The one thing I will say, too, about Ian Condon as well, I mentioned that he's a power forward. He's a little bit more of an inside-out forward. On the EYBL this past summer, finished average over 18 points per game, and also shot 36% from 3 with nearly 7 attempts per game. So it gives you an idea that he's a guy, yes, listed as a power forward, and I know you mentioned he's 6'7", but I get the feeling at the college level he's going to play wing, and I think that's probably why 24/7 projects him as the number 77 overall player in this class, number 14 power forward. But I think, you know, if you projected him more as a wing, I think part of the reason why you have him as a power forward is defensively he can guard guys, you know, up to 6'9", and also be able to rebound the ball well. So if that sounds like a Justin Gainey player,
it is.
That is a Justin Gainey type player. Might not have necessarily the 6'9 or 6'10 size that you're looking for in a power forward, but he's somebody that will go toe to toe with a power forward of that size, and also, again, be able to stretch the floor for you, play a little bit outside. So you get both of those things into one package. We'll see ultimately where that ends up going. He's still got several more official visits. Might sneak in a surprise official visit later this week. He told me about that. He said to keep it undercover, so we won't discuss exactly what that one is, but also expect to go to Georgia Tech this upcoming weekend and has a few more lined up before he will ultimately to make his decision. Said he doesn't exactly have a timeline stamped down yet, but we will obviously be talking a little bit more about him in the future. We'll see where that one goes. But, all right, we've talked football. We've talked basketball. We've talked women's soccer. A little bit of men's soccer spread in there too. And, you know, shout out to the volleyball team as well. Off to a 2-1 start. Struggled against UCF in that one match, but they're off to a 2-1 start overall. We'll see what they're capable of when they come home this upcoming weekend as well. Charlie, I think that just about wraps it up, man. I appreciate you for jumping on as always, sir.
Sir, nowhere to go up, nowhere to go but up from here. So.
And as Kelly said here, yes, best positive note is that you got to be a dad tonight, and that's a win all the time. Yes, I shout out to the Pirates for coming out hot. We, you know, again, like I said, Harper got a big hit. One of our close friends, their daughter Addison, got a big hit as well. And several others got some big hits too. So it was a lot of fun to watch. Defense, optional. But, everything else is fun about it. So thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to everybody for adding your comments as well tonight. And thank you to Charlie for jumping on. We will talk to you guys again soon.